Now, Dundee student Chloe Nash has designed a product which helps visually impaired people enjoy museum exhibits. Have a listen to this.
Hello there, and welcome to your personal SAM-guided tour about the Scots Monument in Edinburgh. For the next few minutes, I'll give you some facts and information regarding the monument, and you're invited to touch the tactile piece you're holding to get a better idea of what the statue looks like. You're welcome to press the button beneath the model, and it will generate a light to help guide you. The Scott Monument is a Victorian Gothic monument to the Scottish author Sir Walter Scott. It stands in the Princes Street Gardens in Edinburgh and is built from sandstone. The piece you are holding is made from 3D printed material and has been spray painted with stone textured spray paint to mimic the sandstone. You can feel the inner tower above, which features an archway, the different stories of the monument, as well as pointed fixtures which are designed to mimic the various tiers and statues which surround the monument. For example, a Robert the Bruce statue sits on the lower east side of the monument, which is from Scott's poem, The Lord of the Isle.
Chloe Nash joins us now. Hi, Chloe.
Hi, how's it going?
Well, thank you. And as I was saying, that sounds very atmospheric, that. What was that particular audio? What was that based on?
So that was based around the sound surrounding Scott's Monument in Edinburgh. So it's a kind of mixed and layered up tracks from the BBC site, which are free to download. And what I would do is go and kind of sit next to the monument and listen to what it would sound like, so you'd hear things like the tram and that. And then I just basically put them all up together so it would sound like you were actually there standing next to it, rather than having to go out and listen to it yourself.
You've designed SAM. What does that stand for then?
So SAM stands for Sensory Audio Map, and it was just a way to kind of give a nicer name to a kind of technical project, and it was based on Samuel Gridley Howe, who was, if I remember correctly, one of the creators of the American School for the Blind, the original school as well, so I thought it tied in quite nicely with that too.
So how does it actually work then?
So basically, the idea of it is it would be next to, for example, this one's based on the Scott Monument. It would just be something you can go up to and pick up, and instead of having to like stand far away back and being told by like a guide or something, you can just put these headphones on, and as you're listening to this personalised guide, you can touch what's in front of you, and you can also press this button, and it'll give you like a guiding light. So it's got maybe a wee bit of sight, or it's just you kind of need that extra assistance, it'll show you where to touch. And it'll give you different facts about the monument as well, or whatever piece you want to use to.
How difficult was it to actually create this then?
Some of it was easier than others. Some of it was, oh God, it's awful at some point. Really, it started off as like, I was going to do something a lot more portable, made out of like Raspberry Pi or Arduino, but it just didn't turn out too well. So what I did was, I looked around the V&A and I was at the Ocean Liners exhibit, and the pieces were so big, so I thought it would be interesting to kind of bridge that connection of like a huge piece that you can't really touch to someone who can't see. So when I was making it, it was, because it was in the V&A, a lot of the design language was based around the V&A as well, so the back's all made out of perspex to look like fossils, and the interior's all wood, and the top is a white perspex, so you can kind of see through it. But probably the worst part was the coding, because a lot of it didn't go quite to plan. And I thought at some point it was going to blow up, but it didn't, which is good.
Well, that's always handy, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
What actually inspired your idea?
So I went to the Ocean Liners exhibit at the V&A, and it was this piece called Laceport, which was on the Normandy boat. And it was basically in the smoking room, I think in 1935, maybe. It may not be then at all. But I'm like 5'2", so this thing was like about 10, 20 of me. And I don't know, I just thought it was like really cool that there was this thing that was so big and it was in such a small space. And then as I was kind of walking in, it's the first thing you notice. But then I thought, if you're walking in and you have like sight issues, you're probably not going to get that same experience. Like, it's really kind of breathtaking. So I wanted to give more of that experience to someone who might not necessarily get that.
So what kind of feedback have you had so far that from any visually impaired people that have tried it out?
It's all been really positive, actually. I've visited a few people with sight issues, and one of the main guys was a guy called Stuart Beveridge from Peacecape in Kirkcaldy. So he helped me a lot with the project, and I gave him a lot of prototypes. He basically said that I was going in the right direction originally, and honestly, he was really positive about it. He just said to keep going. So after that, I went to a guided tour with some guys from, I think it was, for the Fife Blind Society. And I gave them some prototypes as well, which was more based around the Scott Monument, like the final piece. And again, they were all saying it was really positive, and it'd be good to have like something there that's just specialised for people that are blind or partially sighted. One of the things that like I noticed was like through research and speaking to people that a lot of the keys that are available are quite expensive, but they're really like they're not that visually appealing to look at as well. So that's what I tried to do as well, to make it like nice to look at. So it is something you'd want to go up to and interact with and pick up to. But that's it's pretty much all been positive. I've not actually had anything bad, which is good.
Which is really good, because you know normally in an idea like this you would expect it to refine it and perhaps to sort of change direction sometimes mm-hmm. with feedback, because you're coming from a sighted standpoint and you're having to kind of convert it into how would this work with somebody with a visual impairment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I mean, most of the feedback obviously got was from my lecturers, and they taught me how to kind of refine it from very early prototypes to the later piece, which is just now. But I was really surprised, actually, because whenever I brought even the 0.1 prototypes, people who were just seeing it or using it for the first time were really into it and thought it was a really good idea. So it's always been really quite fulfilling to do, especially when it was like I could give them this piece that I thought was just a daft wee prototype, and they thought it was like a really good piece of tech or product design. I was like, oh, that's great. That's perfect. I didn't expect it to go that well, but it did.
Yeah, no, it's incredible. So what do you hope to come from this then? What's the next step?
Well, I've been in contact with a couple of the museums, I think one in particular down in England. A few people have passed it on to like their supervisors or whoever trying to get it into some kind of production or some kind of some way to make it, basically. And I would love to do it, to be honest. It's really not that expensive. And once I get all the code in that, I can just copy over, and all you'd really need to do is record whatever audio you wanted on again, and just I could just very easily make up a specialised piece for it. And I don't know, it wouldn't be that time consuming. Obviously with the research before, it took about a year, but if I could get it into production in even small museums, that'd be great, just to know I could help people get a better museum experience, because that's been the whole point of my project.
And I wonder if your idea and the concept, you might a little further down the line think, do you know, this could actually be used for something completely different. You know, you never know, from one idea comes a few.
Oh yeah, definitely. My initial idea was I think it was something to do with like events and finding events, and that was like a little thing you'd tap on and it would show you events in your area. So from that, which is completely different to this. So, yeah, it could definitely be used in an array of different things. I'm totally happy for it to be used anywhere for anything, you know. I'm really open-minded about changing it as well. If anyone had any suggestions or wanted to improve it, I'd be totally fine with that. I mean, it's just been me that's making it.
Yeah, so how do people find out more about it then? It's called SAM, isn't it? S-A-M.
Yeah, that's right. So I do have a WordPress blog, which has been the whole process from when I started, when I started fourth year. So that is, I think that's something like clnashdesigns@wordpress.com. And there's also the university site as well, which is the Past Degree Show site, has a few links on it as well, just done the uni one. And I'm also going to New Designers the 27th, 29th, I should really know because it's the end of this month. But I'm going down there for a week to showcase it to people in London, to industry professionals. So it's a chance to see it there as well and use it too. It's also been on BBC Scotland, which it's basically shows a full interview with me and just how you'd use it and how you can interact with it as well.
Well, it's very exciting times. One thing I did want to ask you was, how do you select the voice? How important is it to get the right voice?
The voice is definitely important. The funny thing is about it was the voice I was using there for the project that just passed was my friend Chris, because it was a wee bit, I didn't have too much time at the towards the end of my project, and I'd looked so much into what they were going to say, how they were going to say it, and all the sounds, how they'd fade in and fade out, but I did not think until a bit near the end about who would actually be speaking. And because I'm a student, I couldn't really afford a professional sound person. But basically, I said to him it's important to kind of mimic the guides that I'd listened to. So not to sound overly patronising, but to say it slowly and to say what's in front of the person, just so they know exactly what's going on and what relates to what, if that makes sense.
I do understand what you're saying. Yeah, try and keep it fairly neutral, not boring.
And, yeah, yeah, definitely.
And not like you're talking to a three-year-old.
Yeah, basically. I've tried to like put in some information that you wouldn't get on a guided tour, like some random wee facts, which I found out in researching that what most people are into and stuff like that. So just to make it a bit more, like you'd actually want to use it, you'd want to listen to it as well.
I think it works really well, what we've heard of it. So
that was good.
No, congratulations on your idea and actually bringing it to fruition. Chloe Nash, we wish you the best with Sam, and hopefully we will get an update from you later on, let us know how everything's all going.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Thank you.